time to play the game. Time to play the game! It's all about the game, and how you play it. All about control, and if you can take it. All about your debt, and if you can pay it. It's all about pain, and who's gonna make it.
Yo, welcome back to this week's special edition of the Game Sports Show. This is the Hot Seat, live from Moe's Pub in Escanaba. 24 TVs, multiple local craft beers on tap. Best pub in Escanaba. Best place to catch a game in Escanaba. Again, best pub in Escanaba. Perfect place to catch a game. That's where we're recording live from tonight. With me, as always, is my homie. He is Escanaba Excellence. He is the notorious N-O-R-S-E. With me tonight, as always, my co-host, contributor, and as Scott would say, all-around good guy, Tyler Ouellette is here. Thanks for coming, Tyler.
EJ, what's going on? Yo. Like you said, we're back. We are back from Moe's Pub once again. Yeah, we got a Thursday night, some college football, NFL football on tonight. So, yeah, let's do it.
Well, like I said, this is the Hot Seat live from Moe's Pub in Escanaba. The Hot Seat is powered by GEM, Game Entertainment Media. You can hear us online at thegamesportsshow.com. Check us out at thegamesportsshow.podbean.com, where you can check out the latest episodes of The Hot Seat, the Monday night edition of The Game on ESPN 1400 out of Sault Ste. Marie, as well as the End of Pocket segment with Dave and the Canadian boys. You can also hear segments of The Drive with Paul Van Wagner from ESPN Blacksburg in Virginia. And you can also hear Butch on his podcast, Simply Butch 2. That's simplybutch2.podomatic.com. Check out his shows as well. But this is the Hot Seat, all right? This is time for you and me to get our licks in. And what do we always start off? Our gripes and groans. So, Tyler, who's on the hot seat for you this week?
First of all, EJ, the whole NFC East.
The whole dang division.
The whole division. It's bad. All of it, just it's awful. Cowboys just got destroyed on Monday night by Arizona. And they are still leading the division at 2-4. 2-4 after six games is leading that division. That's pathetic. We need to sign a pension or start a pension petition to get the Lions into that.
Oh, division. We don't want to give them a pension. We don't want to give them a pension when they're playing like crap.
Right, right. We need the Lions in that division some way or another. We need them there this year for their playoff hopes. But yeah, Dallas 2-4, Eagles 1-4-1. They play tonight against the Giants, who are 1-5, and then Washington football team at 1-5. So just ugly, EJ.
If you put together the total amount of wins that that division has, okay, you got two for Dallas, one for the Eagles, one for the Giants, and one for Washington, they might only be leading collectively. They'd only be leading two divisions right now with four wins. Buffalo's got four wins. They're 4-2. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are 4-2. So collectively, they're still not even the best team in a division. It's an absolute dumpster fire in the NFC East. Carson Wentz and the Philadelphia Eagles have been very disappointing. Dallas, their season's not going to be getting much better. They got Andy Dalton quarterbacking the rest of the way. Sam Darnold ain't the guy. Adam Gase ain't the guy. The Jets just – I saw an interesting quote today from Roddy White. From Roddy White. Did you see this?
No, but one second. I have to correct you. The Jets are not in the NFC East.
I'm sorry, thank you. Not the Jets. Uh-huh. Well, we'll get to the Jets in a minute, though. They're dumpster fire, too. So my brain went there, dumpster fire. Sorry. I meant to say the right. Giants. But that's not much better. They're missing Saquon Barkley. And then you do have whatever that team is called in Washington. They're terrible. I mean, Alex Smith is coming back, so there is some hope for Washington. But I will say, like, real quick, the great quote that I did hear about the Jets was Roddy White was on ESPN, and he said if he was Trevor Lawrence – and the Jets get the number one pick, that he would just return to Clemson because he wants nothing to do with that organization. That was bad.
You know, that's not a bad strategy because I think the Jets would just ruin him. It's kind of like the Cleveland Browns used to quarterbacks, you know. So it is in a way. But, yeah.
Well, you want to talk about Cleveland Browns quarterbacks. Let's talk about my hot seat this week. That's Baker Mayfield. Okay. I know that the Browns are 4-2. But feels a lot, and Baker said too, it feels a lot like 0-6 right now, because you're beating all the teams you're supposed to be, but you're losing bad to the ones that, that you shouldn't, that, that are tough games, okay? And here's why Baker's on the hot seat, is going into the games that the Browns have lost, okay? And I believe the statistic is 6 out of the last 8 games that the Cleveland Browns have lost, Baker Mayfield has thrown an interception on the first drive. You cannot do that and put your team behind in a game against a good team and expect your team to find continued success. When they're beating these other teams, look at the first drive. Baker Mayfield didn't throw an interception. He may have thrown one in the game, but he's not starting off with it. He cannot start off games with an interception. I was sitting here with some friends and family of yours watching the game, and I believe I was sitting near your mom, and in the second quarter, I literally looked at her and I said, if Baker Mayfield throws an interception right here, I'm going home. And no sooner had I said that, he threw a second pick of the game. You just saw how the game was going. So Baker needs to find a way to be more efficient. I don't want to blame the offensive line, because they have the best rushing attack in the NFL this year. So clearly the offensive line is not the biggest part of the problem. But Pittsburgh was just in the backfield all day. But, Bake, you got to find a way not to throw an interception on the first drive. The game kills us.
Yeah, the first drive thing is kind of the moment.
We got a little shout out. Our buddy Greg Haslell just hit me with an umbrella. What's up, Greg? How you doing, buddy? Greg's a friend of the show.
Yes, he is. But no, throwing a pick on that first drive is just the momentum right there. And especially if you get the ball first, that's like a wasted drive, because the other team gets the ball at half. And that's just right there, boom.
The reason the Pittsburgh game it hurts so much is because you're playing a good Pittsburgh team. Okay. They were 4-0. First time they were 4-0 since 1978. Okay. This is the first time the Browns were 4-1 since 1994 when Belichick was a coach. You just can't turn that ball. First drive, we held them to 3 points. I was very happy about that, because James Conner's an incredible talent. Ben Roethlisberger is a good quarterback. He's going to go to the Hall of Fame, I think. And they somehow was like that can, with the Mapletron, they're calling him now, Claypool, whatever his name is. Pittsburgh is always fire. They always find a way to get good receivers in the draft, right? They've gotten Antonio Brown. Emmanuel Sanders was fantastic, was he, when he was in Pittsburgh. Washington, that kid from Oklahoma State's not bad. And now this Claypool, Mapletron, whatever you want to call him, he looks incredible. Juju Smith-Schuster's still on. It's just they're good football team. They always find ways to get the ball on the outside. So you can't turn the ball over early, because you went from, you know, potentially being in a 3-3 or a 7-3 situation to holy crap, we're down 10-0 like that.
Yeah, the first drive, I would argue, is it's not the worst time to, besides maybe the last drive of the game when it's close. But that, like I was saying, that first drive, it just can't happen. And you just have to a punt at that point, at least like a first down, a punt. I'll take that, obviously, over a pick. But that, or 3-0, man. It's just, yeah, that's incredible, that stat you brought
up. It's
a
momentum killer.
I didn't know it was that many times. I know he throws picks a lot, like in the first quarter. I didn't know it was the first drive. So that is pretty wild.
Yeah, so the third hot seat for this week, I think you and I both agreed on, but I'll let you lead into this one, because this was the first one that you wanted to put on blast this week.
Yeah, the Minnesota Vikings. Wow. What is going on for them this year? They are 1-5, bottom of the NFC North, below my Detroit Lions, so just get that out there. But yeah, what is going on with the Vikings? 1-5, they just traded one of their better defensive players. And
what's his name?
Ngakoue. Yannick Ngakoue. That's how you
say it. It's close. That's pretty right. Close. I'll give you that.
But yeah, they just traded for him in the offseason, right before the season started. They traded away a couple picks. Just traded him after 6 games. Yeah, 6 games to the Ravens for a 2021 third rounder and a 2022 fifth. So that's a not bad haul. I mean, but. And then Daniel Hunter, he just went on the IR. Another one of the better defensive end for the Vikings. So
really good player.
Very good. And I get they lost a lot on defense, Kevin Stefanski, to Cleveland this year, right? But Dalvin Cook is banged up now. But 1-5 is just surprising.
Again,
Dalvin Cook, yep. But, you know, I'm looking at these games, and they are pretty good teams that they've lost to. The Titans, Packers, Colts, Seahawks. But, like, a couple of really close 1-point games. You got to get some of those. They just got killed by the Falcons at home. So that's an
thank
awful
you.
Loss.
That's the one for me that you can't. Atlanta's been terrible this year. Absolutely terrible. And after they fire, was it Dombrowski and Dan Quinn? all of a sudden they throw up a 40 burger. and granted, this was like some vintage 2016 Matt Ryan, Julio Jones gameplay we were seeing. They looked absolutely fantastic throwing the football in that game. But Minnesota is a dumpster fire. And as a Browns fan, I'm the one reaping kind of the rewards of the Vikings' loss here. Kevin Stefanski still continues to prove to me that he was a huge piece in why Kirk Cousins had such a successful year last year. I'm with you, the Yannick Ngakoue, and it's pronounced Ngakoue.
That was close.
My good sir. Yeah, you did pretty good, though. But I don't really understand the trading way to Yannick Ngakoue when you know Danielle Hunter's hurt. The only reason that I think that I can come up with to rationalize this is they realize that they're a dumpster fire and they're just moving these pieces so that they can get picks to try to make the team better, because clearly you're missing more than just one piece right now.
Yeah, I think they realize that and they're just done with this year, to be honest. I think making that trade after literally just signing him. And when they signed him, I was really worried for the NFC North. Like that the Vikings going into this year, I'm like them and the, I thought of them and the Packers for that. Obviously the Bears have been a surprise this year, I would say, but that was surprising, that trade. One good piece right now for the Vikings is Justin Jefferson, the receiver, rookie out of LSU. He's been having a crazy good year.
Still wearing purple and gold.
Yeah, yes, he is. Good point right there. But him and Thielen are doing their jobs. Like they're performing really well. But the receivers are not a problem there. Running back, Cousins is Cousins. You know, he's going to be inconsistent. Really great at times, awful at times. So
overpaid.
Yes, very overpaid. It's just, I don't know, that defense has been not good. Just not good this year. So trading away.
Well, you look at those good. Well, you look at those good teams that they had. Yes, they had a great rushing attack with Dalvin Cook, and I think they had Latavius Murray coming in off the bench for a little bit there. But that team was very, very good on defense. Xavier Rhodes was at his peak performance. Let's go back to like 2016-17. We're just talking about those years in Atlanta. Yeah. Go back to those Vikings. The amount of impact that the defensive line had. You had Hitman Harrison still back there. Swinging away from the safety position. They have had a very good defense, and I think that now it's all falling apart, and I think that they're choosing the right time to reset. I think Yannick Ngakoue was a nice pickup for them in this offseason because he made your defense better on a team that you didn't know what you were getting offensively, so you need to try to stack the deck, but it's clearly not working. I'm fine with them moving on, get to picks, try to rebuild your team. Maybe try chasing a new running back because Dalvin Cook can't find ways to stay healthy. He had trouble staying healthy at Florida State. So I don't know that what the Vikings are doing right now is a recipe for success.
Yeah, and it sucks with Dalvin Cook because when he is healthy, he's one of the top three running backs, I'd say, in the league.
He's great.
I mean, this year he's been really good, and he's hurt, obviously. But the Vikings.
But when you say he's hurt, we should always say he's hurt again. It's every year. It's again. He's hurt again.
Yes, and that's been it's not been great for the Vikings, and I'm shocked that they're below the Lions right now. I did not think that would be the case. Like I said before, I think the Packers and Vikings were like the two that were this year that were going to be at the top of the division, but Vikings have been one of the most surprising teams in the NFL this year, I believe, so just surprising.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Buffalo being as good as they were early is bigger surprise than Minnesota being as bad as they are, but I agree with you there. So right here, we'll get off the hot seat. We'll go to transition to college football. Before we do that, we will do our every show routine where we enjoy our little shot, a little something special here. Burns so good.
Good as always.
That's right. Wait, before we get to college football, I'm going to give you my fourth hot seat. And you did not want me to bring this up because we do have a lot of local listeners here. Tyler. I got to ask you this question, though. I was here on Friday. They had Escanaba Marquette football game on the TV screen. Scores 14-0. Escanaba scores a touchdown. Why did they go for two? This is a hot seat question for me. All I want is an answer. Why did they go for two, Tyler?
I'm not sure. That's my answer.
You're on the hot seat right now. Why did they go for two?
I don't have the information why they went for two. All I know is I don't think that play was as big as you think it was as you were talking, because I think
How's it not? You've been getting beat up all game. They're up 14-0. You finally go down to put your team within a score. And instead of cutting the deficit in half, you try to go for two for what purpose? Is there something wrong with the kicker, Tyler?
I'm not sure. I don't have that information. I wish I did to share with you. It's either...
Do they have a kicker?
Who knows, EJ?
Tyler, do they have a player on their team that under the K position, there's a name? Do they have one?
I really don't know.
Shame on you. You're not astronaut excellence. I told you I was going to try to catch you slipping tonight, and I'm glad I got you here. No, but that was my one last gripe and groan. And I don't want to pick on high school sports because maybe the kicker was hurt. If they have a kicker and he was hurt, I get it. Maybe they just don't have a kicker. That's fine. I know there's a team down south that they always do onside kicks and they go for two every time. But sorry, Eskenazi, you're not that good to be going for two in that situation. If that's the excuse you're going to try to play. I mean, I like Escanaba. When you played, they're good. When your brother Awesome played, they're good. Adam's on the team right now, so I'm not trying to light him up. I just want an explanation for why you go for two. It just didn't make sense to me there.
Yeah, and hey, I do give credit to Eski in general. It was tough when they had to miss the first three games of the year. That was because of the COVID situation.
So, COVID.
Yeah, I mean, good for them for putting up a fight at Marquette, which Marquette's a very good team. They got to bounce back tomorrow against Gladstone or Friday against Gladstone. So hopefully that's a good showing for the Eskimos. So, yeah, but that was a tough game.
Well, it is. And for you and me, and I saw you pause there for a second. I'm like, wait, is it not Thursday? No, we record the show on Thursdays. So by the time you're probably hearing this, it will be Friday. So today Gladstone will be playing Escanaba.
That's what I was
so
trying
that,
to
do. I see what you're doing there. So we'll leave Eski alone here. Okay. We'll take you off the hot seat. Whoever's on that hot seat, your coach needs to give me a call. I want an explanation as to why. Quit shaking your head at me, Tyler. There's no feasible reason that you should have went for 2 points, sir. Okay, sorry, I'm not picking it. I'll move on. College football. Normally, we like to get into college football playoff scene. The games are watching this and that. But guess what, Tyler? It's Big Ten football weekend.
Big Ten week. It's game week this week.
The Big Ten's back, baby. Midwest football is here. So we're going to do a Big Ten preview. We're going to do a little pick'em segment. We've got every game dialed up here. Who's it who? We got the rankings. Tyler, we'll start it off with probably the biggest fan base that we have on this show. The University of Michigan goes to Minnesota to take on PJ Fleck. 21st ranked Golden Gophers are rowing the boat against the 18th ranked Michigan Wolverines. Who you got?
You know, this is a tough one. It really is. Michigan right now is favored by about 3.5 points at Minnesota, which, you know, it's so tough right now because they've had all this time off, all the Big Ten schools, and you just don't know. I mean, Michigan's starting Joe Milton, who has never started a football game at the collegiate level. He's played before. I've heard he's had an amazing arm, which just gets me excited, you know, throws a deep ball. But who do I got? You know, I'm going Michigan. And I've seen a lot of people say take 3.5 Minnesota or money line Minnesota. I've seen it a lot. And I do think Joe Milton's going to be good. I think he's going to be really good. And I think they're favored, but I think it's going to be almost a good. And they're ranked 18th, Minnesota 21. I think this is like going to surprise people, though. I really do think when they're going to go to Minnesota and win. And I want to say another reason why I kind of believe that. PJ Fleck was press conference this week talking about COVID, and he was saying that they're not fully healthy, like people are going to be out because of COVID, but he wouldn't like explain why or who, which was kind of interesting to me. So I do believe there are some key players out on Minnesota with COVID this week, and that's gonna really help Michigan. So
well, you can, I think some of it though is that you can't say why or who because this is a health thing, and
that's true.
You know, I was talking to our server here this evening before we got started, and a family member of the Sallow family was here earlier. I won't say who because I don't want to throw his name out there, but he asked me to pick this game, and our bartender was watching and trying to see. And originally, I think I wanted to take Michigan, but as you're walking me through this, who's the favorite here? Minnesota 3?
Michigan. Michigan's favored by 3.5.
Oh, man. I really, everything in my gut wants me to take PJ Fleck and the Golden Gophers here. I really love what he's doing. I got an oar, dude. I rode the boat. I'm on the team. I am team Western PJ Michigan. Fleck. I love what he did at Western. I love the way that he approaches the game. I love his ability to connect with the players. Was he got that one quarterback in last year for a couple snaps? And he's crying because the guy finally got some game time in his senior year. Like, incredible moments. He's a guy's guy. He's a good coach. I love what he's doing there. But Tyler, as much as everything in my body wants me to take Minnesota here, and it pains me to say it, I'll take the Wolverines.
Go Blue!
Knock it off. All right, Rutgers, Michigan State.
Go Blue.
Oh, Rutgers. Oh, Michigan State, where's green?
Oh, Rutgers and Michigan State. What a battle of some powerhouses in the Big Ten we got here, EJ.
New coach in Michigan State, though.
Yes. Mel Tucker, former – was he the Colorado head coach? Or was he OC?
I want to say he was OC.
I do, too. And, yeah, D'Antonio's out. This COVID thing sucks, man, because this would be a big year for Mel Tucker. And I know it's struggling for, like, recruiting-wise, it really sucks for him right now because of all the restrictions because of COVID. But I don't know. I got to take State here at home against Rutgers. You got to take State, right?
Spartan Stadium puts on a good show. Last time I was there was the year that the Buckeyes won a national championship. I was the only wearing red in a sea of green. It was terrible. I got punched like 17 times. Although there was a girl that was sitting in front of us every time we scored. She punched me in the gut. So I got punched a lot that game because the Buckeyes won, baby. But I like Michigan State over Rutgers here for pretty much one reason and one reason alone. And this is also the reason that whenever Michigan State plays a Michigan or Ohio State, I think that they always have a shot. And that's that Michigan State is one of those kind of football teams in the Big Ten that you get all those guys in state, they all want to go play big league college football, right? And Michigan is the better brand name, okay? Then a team like Ohio State comes in and tries to grab some of these guys. A lot of guys that Michigan State ends up with are guys that either want to go to Ohio State or want to go to Michigan or vice versa. And those universities either said no or made an offer and then pulled it back to get a different player because all they care about is winning. And Michigan State always ends up with a bunch of guys that are just hungry, they're angry, they're pissed off that they got passed on by these other universities, and they always want to prove something. This is a great opportunity for the new head coach, Tucker, to go out there, make some noise, let Michigan State battle and bang with these Rutgers boys from New Jersey and really just put them on their rear ends, push them around. It's a home game. I don't know if they're going to have fans, but I hope to at least hear the band there. I'll take Michigan State in this game.
Yeah, I feel like this is almost like Michigan State has to win this football game. I'm not rooting for Michigan State by any means, but there's no way that Michigan State loses this game to Rutgers at home, in my opinion. So next game, EJ, that we have on our list, we have number 14, Wisconsin at Illinois, and that's actually tomorrow night. That's the first Big Ten game of the year, which is exciting.
That's in Camp Randall. That's in Wisconsin.
It's in Wisconsin. My bad. At Wisconsin. Correct. So number 14, Wisconsin going up against Illinois, Lovey Smith. Wisconsin's favored by 19.5.
You and I are literally looking at the exact same thing right now. I'm looking at the over under the money line and the spread here. So who do you like though? Wisconsin or Illinois?
Obviously, I just said the favorite by about 23 touchdowns. Pretty much, you got to go Wisconsin here. I don't know if they cover that. Illinois is actually led by Brandon Peters, former Michigan quarterback, actually. So you got to, and Lovie Smith at the helm. I mean, Illinois, they had a solid year last year. I mean, it's just.
Hold on, Illinois. Can we give Chloe a little shout out? Thank you for being such a great server tonight. You're the best. You rock. Chloe's over here bringing us shots of Pink Whitney, fresh beers. We're enjoying ourselves. But go ahead, Lovie Smith in Illinois. I just want to give the servers here a little bit of credit.
Of course, we got to do that, you know. But you know, Lovie Smith in Illinois, what could go wrong there? I mean, Chicago coach, why not just stick in Illinois and coach, you know? I mean, he's been there for a while now. It's like 4 or 5 years, I want to say. And I mean, they haven't had crazy success, but who's going to fire Lovie Smith in Illinois? So, and the gray beard's rocking. But yeah, I think Wisconsin, they're going to win this at Camp Randall. No fans, which is a huge difference, especially at a place like Camp Randall.
No jump around in the fourth quarter.
I was going to say, that are they going to play it still, EJ? They better still play it.
You play it. You play the dang song.
You got to play it. The players will jump around. But Wisconsin wins this football game.
Wisconsin, no questions here. They're favored 93% chance to win this football game. Okay, 19.5. I think I'll still take the spread there. Wisconsin always finds a way to be dangerous. I like them in this game by a lot. If I'm a betting man, I'm taking Wisconsin with the 19.5. They're going to beat them by way more than that. Next game we got is Iowa at Purdue. This is a fun game. I like this game because I think it's a trap game for Iowa. Kirk Ferentz has been running a very, very good program in Iowa. They've been dangerous for a long time, always finding a way to be involved in that Big Ten championship scene, always finding ways to win football games and upset teams that just find – they're one of those teams like Wisconsin that finds a way to ruin somebody else's year if they're not having a great year. They're dangerous at any moment. But I like Purdue's head coach. I like what they got going on there. I think that Purdue could find a way to sneak this game out. But America needs farmers, just like the helmet sticker says. I'll take Iowa here. Kirk Ferentz has been too good for too long.
So I'm looking at this, and Purdue's coach is actually out with COVID for the first game, which could be pretty big. I don't know a whole lot about Purdue. I know, like you said, Iowa is always solid. That's a 3:30 kickoff. Iowa's favored by 3. So it's not as much as you would think for an Iowa.
And that's why I think this is a trap game, because Iowa should be favored by a lot more.
They should, and solid. And I'm still salty about 2016 Michigan football.
Go back. What did you just say? Because I couldn't hear you for a minute there. I think your mic might have been muted or something. What were you saying? Go back to Purdue coach has COVID.
Purdue coach has COVID, and he's out for this game.
But you like Iowa. This was still 3. I just want you to try to repeat the last like sentence or two that you just said, because I couldn't hear it. I don't know if our fans could.
Okay, yeah, I still like Iowa. I think Purdue's coach being out is still it's a big deal, but I still think Iowa's gonna win this football game at Purdue. But yeah, so favored by 3, you would think it would be a little more. To be honest, I mean Iowa might be a little more down than usual this year, but we shall see, I guess, EJ.
All right, so I'm going to ask you this, okay, because we get to do whatever we want, man. It's our show. Are we going to start counting these? Are we going to keep record? Are we going to do Big Ten pick'ems every week? I mean, we can shorten the segment. We're giving it a little bit more time because it's first season, first week of the year. Are we going to keep track of this? Are we going to do a little pick'ems?
We should do them. It doesn't have to be just Big Ten, but we should do a pick'em of some sort and keep track.
All right, well, if we're going to keep track this week, I'll take Purdue at home. I do like Iowa a lot more, but I think this is a trap game for Iowa. Iowa's been a very good football team for a long time with a good head coach. Next week they got Northwestern, and they have Michigan State after that, so I can see them looking ahead. Give me Purdue here. Why? Just because I feel like it. I don't have any good reasoning. I think that this is the perfect trap game mixture, because you got a head coach out due to COVID, team could rally behind him, find a way to beat a good Iowa team, put Kirk Ferentz and the Hawkeyes down 0-1 on the year. I'll take Purdue here for no reason other than I just like the perfect storm for an upset. So the next game's one that probably not a lot of us are going to watch. We got Maryland and Northwestern. We won't spend much time touching this. I like Northwestern here. Tyler, who you got?
Yeah, this game I could care less about. Northwestern. I'll take Northwestern with you.
What was the stat line you were giving me before the game? Before we got on here, the head coach for Northwestern.
I think this is for Pat Fitzgerald, who is the head coach. I think this would be his 100th win ever at the collegiate level. So
good for him.
Yeah, good for him. At Northwestern,
they've run a nice program. That Northwestern is no longer a team that you can just look to beat up on. Like, yeah, they're in the Big Ten because they bring the GPA up.
but, I do a lot.
But he's done a great job with that program. I absolutely love the Wildcat uniforms. I love the purple and black. It's kind of got that hockey style bar going across front. I love their uniforms. So I like Northwestern here. All right. Probably two of the bigger games to wrap up the Big Ten here for opening week. Probably two teams a lot of people got their eyes on. Penn State going to Indiana. What say you?
All right. EJ, so Indiana, I do not like Indiana football. For some reason, every time Michigan plays them, especially when it's at Indiana, it is always a shootout and it is always so close. And I don't understand. They always Indiana just knows how to score points. Their defense is always awful, but it's always very close with Michigan, and they're playing at home against Penn State. Like, Penn State's only favored by 6 points, and they're ranked 8th in the country. Like, it just says right there, Vegas knows things, you know. But I'm taking Penn State still, but it's going to be really close for no reason at all, just because it's Indiana, and they shouldn't be good at football, but they are.
Indiana is one of those teams. And I'd like to say that I'm probably a little bit closer to the Indiana program than some of the other people that might be listening to the show. Roger Saffold, he's a tackle for the Tennessee Titans currently, was with the Los Angeles Rams when they made the Super Bowl, and they lost to New England Patriots there in what was the most boring Super Bowl of all time, air quotes. Roger Saffold is a Cleveland native. He's a friend of my family's. I don't know if this is a HIPAA violation. I think he's a dental patient of my dad's.
Really?
We're very close. My family's very close to the Saffolds. Kathleen, my younger sister, 18 months younger than I, she played basketball with his sister, which is how we got to know them. Also, condolences to the Saffold family. Big Raj passed away not too long ago, so Roger's dad ended up passing. Very sad news to hear. When Roger went to Indiana, I really started to pay a little bit more attention there. And Indiana keeps finding ways, like you said, against Michigan. They've done it to Ohio State. They do it to teams every year where they just – You want to choke them, right? You put your hands around their neck, and why is this so difficult? Just let us win this football game, and you either find a way to win or they just piss you off and they find a way to beat you. I don't think that this is a trap game for Penn State. I like James Franklin's coaching far better than anything that could be coming out of the Hoosiers here. I just don't think that this is that game for Penn State, and the reason that I don't think that is because Penn State, I mean, could this be, again, like I said earlier, could this be a trap game? Sure, they're looking at OSU next week. Okay, OSU's got a big battle against Penn State next week. Could they be looking past Indiana? Sure. I just think Penn State's going to try to come out swinging because in this shortened season, you just got to put points, 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 points up on the board, beat teams very handedly. This is the year that two teams out of either the SEC or the Big Ten might be able to make the playoff because the Big 12 certainly doesn't look like they know what the heck they got going on over there. We haven't seen much Pac-12 football yet. So Penn State's got some potential here. I think that they're going to get geared up and really put the Jets on here. They're not going to show you everything that they got, but I think they beat Indiana by a lot. James Franklin's always found a way to get good running backs in there. Saquon Barkley, he's always had good wide receivers, guys like Chris Godwin. They do a good job in Penn State. The spread is 6, over under 62. I'll do a double dip here on my pick. I'll take Penn State. And I'll take the over because I think Penn State's going to go look to light it up, and I just think Indiana's going to come out flat. So final game this week that we're going to get into is the Ohio State University hosting the Nebraska Cornhuskers, a team that I really do think should still be in the Big 12. But Ohio State, Nebraska, Ohio State, fifth-ranked team in the country, and I think that the fifth ranking is BS. But Ohio State, Nebraska, I got the Buckeyes. Everybody here knows why. O-H-I-O, throw the skip to Ohio up there. Hang on, Sloopy. Let's go. Buckeyes, baby. Tyler, who you got?
I like your comment that Nebraska should be the Big 12. They have no reason to be in the Big 10, as Maryland doesn't either, or Rutgers. So we're not going to talk about that. But, Ohio State's going to destroy Nebraska at home. Justin Fields is unreal. Ryan Day knows what he's doing. All this really just hurts me inside as a Michigan fan, but Ohio State, they're just on a whole different tier from the whole Big Ten in every aspect of football. So they're gonna have a chance at the playoff once again, as long as they don't stumble against some stupid team. I mean, I think Michigan, Ohio State at the end, I think it's gonna be close again. It hasn't been close, but I do think this year is gonna be closer because of the chaos of this like year and season. But Ohio State's going to kill Nebraska. That's not even like a question. So they're favored by 26. They're going to beat them by more than 26. It's going to be like 30-0 at halftime. So
I think that Justin Fields is far better than people realize. Dwayne Haskins holds the NCAA record with 50 touchdowns, passing touchdowns a year, right? Do you know who the number two name behind him is? I'll tell you who number three is. Number three is Drew Brees. Who's number two behind Dwayne Haskins for most touchdowns this season? It's probably Justin Fields. So it was at 41, 42 touchdowns. He's very, very good. And he did not want the Buckeyes to cancel the season when the Big Ten canceled. I think he got real pissed off. I keep saying PO today. I just, that seems to be my phrase of the day. I don't know why, but it's probably because I'm in a cranky mood myself because I got some personal stuff going on. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. Hope you're listening. Love you both. But I just think that he's too good. I think Ryan Day has done a fantastic job of stepping in and really just continuing to run with what Urban Meyer has done. I will say that I think that Ryan Day is probably a little bit of a, and I'll say, cleaner coach. When, you know, when Saban was at Ohio, or not Saban, excuse me, when Urban Meyer was at Florida and at Ohio State, there was a little bit of buzz about some controversy all the time. Some of the things that Ohio State's been accused of, like people are like, oh, Ohio State cheated Terrell Pryor, blah, blah, blah. That's nonsense. Okay. The dude got in trouble for selling his rings. Tyler, here, hold this pen. Okay. That's your pen. Now, what Ohio State didn't tell him when they gave him that pen is, oh, that pen is property of the university until you graduate. They didn't tell him that when they gave him his Big Ten championships rings. Guess what? They're poor college kids. They went and sold him, got a couple of tattoos. Stupid decision? Yes. Immature decision? Yes. I'm sure every one of them will regret getting rid of those rings for the rest of their life. Especially Terrell Pryor, who ended up being a bust in the NFL. But
Terrell
Pryor. They're not cheaters, though. I liked him receiving. He was a receiver for my Cleveland Browns. I thought he was fantastic. Ohio State here, Ohio State big. And so that'll wrap up our Big Ten preview. Again, you are listening to The Hot Seat, powered by the Game Entertainment Media, live from Moe's Pub in Escanaba. 24 TVs on tap, multiple local craft beers. Best place to catch a game in Escanaba. Best pub in Escanaba. Check us out online at thegamesportshow.com. You can hear us live on Podbean app. Check us out at thegamesportshow.podbean.com. Again, it is Thursday, October 22nd. We are recording live from Moe's Pub. We're about halfway through our topics here. We're going to briefly touch on NFL. I know a lot of weeks that we spend a majority of our time on NFL because I think that's our what you and I enjoy the best. So we'll hit it real quick. Tyler, you talk Lions. I didn't catch a ton of that game because they were at the same time as my Browns, but looks like they did pretty well in beating Gardner Minshew and his jockstrap wearing rear end. Lions football, you're up.
Yeah, so EJ, the Lions took care of the horrible Jaguars. Like they should have done this. They were favored by about 3.5. They didn't take that because it's the Lions. You just don't bet on the Lions, you know. But 34-16 at Jacksonville. Player of the game here was DeAndre Swift for the Lions. His breakout performance of the year, of his career, really. 14 carries, 116 yards, and 2 touchdowns with a long carry of 54 yards. Just a great performance by the rookie. It's really good to see. Adrian Peterson's obvious there. He's still at 15 carries. So they're the two backs. Kerryon Johnson's the odd man out right now. And that's kind of how I thought it was going to be when they signed AP. I was looking forward to Swift and Kerryon. But, yeah, it's really been – I don't know. The Lions, they have such an easy schedule coming up too, which it scares me because you know how they should play. Let's look at the schedule, EJ. They got at the Falcons next week, who have been struggling. And then you got Colts at home.
I'll take the Lions there.
Yep. And then you got Colts at home. Lions are at home.
I'll take the Lions.
At Minnesota, who just traded.
That's the kind of game that Detroit will blow. So I'll take Minnesota there.
Right, right. And then you got the Washington football team at home. And then you're at Carolina. And the Texans at home on Thanksgiving. So, like, those are all really, really winnable games. Yeah, very winnable. And it's like, the wild card expanded this year. It did, right? So, you know, you get the hope up for the Lions because if you look at like the schedule, they don't have a lot of really hard teams to play this year.
And you know what? I'll give you this about the Lions, and I don't want to comment too much on the Jacksonville game because, again, I was I'm not going to say the phrase again. I was upset at my own team and their performance, Baker Mayfield being the main reason why. But the Detroit Lions do have an easy road here coming up to Thanksgiving. And with the expanded wild card, I think that's probably the best point that you make. With as bad as the NFC East is, you might find a way to leak in. And I'm going to say leak in because I don't think that the Lions are good enough to get in. I think they're just going to kind of like, what was that year? The Buffalo Bills were watching Cincinnati Bengals had to beat Pittsburgh. And all of a sudden, just boop, Buffalo dripped into the playoffs and ended that long drought.
Yeah,
I think that's the kind of way that the Lions get in this year. I don't think that they're good enough talent-wise to do that. I do think they need to move on from Matt Stafford. I know that you and I had discussed
this. They're not coached well enough to get in like that either. So
right, but you need upgrades at coaching. You need an upgrade at the front office. I think it's time to move on from Stafford. I understand that he is beloved by that organization. I think moving him to Dallas, I think you have to find a way to make that work because I think that's good for both organizations right now. You guys could leak your way into the playoffs this year. I like the way the Lions schedule looks right up until Thanksgiving.
And it's really tough, EJ, because they should have beat Bears week one. They should have. They blew that game horribly. Packers, they got killed. Green Bay's on a different level this year. Saints up 14-0, lose 35-29. Come on. So, like, they had the two out of the three games they've lost of the year, they should have either been really close to winning or have won. So, it's like they give you that hope.
That's not coaching, though.
What's that?
Losing those kind of games, though, comes down to coaching.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Matt Patricia is the guy to blame.
Yes.
Not necessarily the entire team. You can't be up by that many points and then go, like, a 14-point lead, you don't go to a conservative play call. You keep doing what's been working. And I feel like Matt Patricia, being a Bill Belichick guy, is going to err on the side of statistics rather than putting his foot on the gas and trying to run the ball down somebody's throat. Don't forget, you still have Adrian Peterson on your team. I get that he's old. But if you need a yard or two, I'm still giving AP the ball if I'm the Lions.
Yeah, I asked you to repeat that because I thought you said it's not on coaching. I was like, you're wrong. But you're right. No, you're right. Patricia has been awful.
Well, that's because I'm never wrong.
Oh, right. Never. EJ. Never. Never.
How do you say his name? Yannick what?
Ngakoue.
All right, never mind. Sometimes I'm wrong.
Yeah. But, so the Lions, you're going to give me that false hope this year like they always do in this crazy year. But let's talk about your Browns a little bit. Let's talk about the Cleveland Browns this week.
Let's not. I mean, there's nothing to discuss. They played like trash. Baker did the one thing that he shouldn't do. Our offensive line was like a sieve. Everything got through. Pittsburgh looked fantastic on defense. James Conner had a good game. Pittsburgh did everything they needed to win. I'll be honest, this is one of the I would say one of the few games. It's the only game this year that I think before halftime I was like, I'm done. But it was one of those games that as a Browns fan you could see it coming. Earlier I brought up the statistic of Baker Mayfield on opening drives. When he throws an interception on his first possession of the game, the Browns just do not win when he is slinging the football, but he didn't have much time. He got his rear end kicked in, and the Browns overall just did not look good. But there are some things that we can take forward coming out of this game. I think the funniest thing that I heard was Stephen A. Smith said he chirps better than he plays football right now when talking about Baker Mayfield. I think he's right. Baker needs to shut up, put his head down, and get better at playing the position. You want to act like a superstar. You want to do the commercials like you're a superstar. Burler, I'll play like a superstar, okay? I like Baker Mayfield. I want him to do well. I normally have a golden rule, which is never buy a Browns quarterback's jersey. I have a Baker jersey. It is a great rule because I'd have a lot of jerseys. But I bought a Baker jersey. I bought the Color Rush uniform where he got his first win against New York Jets. I got some Baker Mayfield memorabilia on my wall from when I got a piece of game used football when he threw 27 touchdowns his rookie year. I want to like Baker Mayfield, but Stephen A. Smith makes a good point right now. He's talking more than he's playing. So there's something you got to do there. But the big news that I read today, and this is coming out of Facebook. I got this update. Jarvis Landry broke a rib against the Colts and played with injury. He's playing through this. And I entirely buy that because anybody that watched the Hard Knocks with the Browns, Jarvis Landry stood up. He goes, I don't care if you're hurt. I don't care if you're tired. I don't care if you're this. I don't care if you're that. Get on the field. Play hard. Practice. Cleveland's a blue-collar town. He's been a blue-collar guy. I think that he has absolutely been the best piece that we brought in from the team. I couldn't believe that we got him the way that we did from the Miami Dolphins. I think that we were extremely lucky to land a guy that talented. And I do think that if anybody can help make Odell work in Cleveland, Jarvis has got to be the piece because they play college football together at LSU. I think when Nick Chubb gets put Nick Chubb in against that Pittsburgh Steelers team, I think we play a lot better. Nick Chubb's coming back in a few weeks, but and that jersey finally came in. I ordered that at the beginning of September. My Nick Chubb white new uni just came in, so excited about that. But Browns dumpster fire this week.
Yeah, it was tough. I didn't get to watch a lot of that because same reason for you. I was watching the Lions. You were watching the Browns.
There wasn't anything worth watching.
And that's usually what I have to say about the Lions. But I was really hoping for a victory week for both of us. You know, when the Lions, it's usually this year, it's been the Browns winning more than the Lions. So the Lions to win, Browns lose in the same week, it's tough. It's tough on us. It's happened one week this year where we both won. It's 1 week.
I know. The Browns are terrible. But let's get in the other big team that people follow around here. Nobody wants to hear about my Cleveland Browns playing like hot trash. Green Bay Packers lose to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and I said that intentionally. I thought it was hysterical. The only reason I love the fact that the Packers lost is because I'm not a huge Packers guy. Okay, I respect, and I want to make sure that I'm clear to Packers fans here. I respect your history. It is called the Lombardi Trophy, Lambeau Field. If football had church, Lambeau Field is it, right? It's not about the scoreboard. It's not about the advertising. It's about football, okay?
All right, so Lambeau Field, I absolutely despise the Packers. Lambeau Field is the best place I've ever seen a football game.
Church.
And it's probably the best place I ever will. I have a great time at Lambeau, but I hate the Packers.
But that, like, Lambeau Field for football, that's church, man. That is where football is king. It's a beautiful stadium. I've never been inside, been around it. But even from the outside, it's a beautiful stadium. I love the fact that they lost this game, though.
It was awesome to watch, EJ.
I liked that it was Tampa Bay, Tom Brady versus Aaron Rodgers. But and I know you can't get the visual here, and I'm going to do this with Tyler on the air. Nothing's better than the Packers going up 10-0. All of a sudden, Aaron Rodgers starts jiggling his cup around like some kind of idiot. And then they don't score a point the rest of the game. That was the best part for me. Was he got it there? I don't know what he was doing. He's like shaking his junk and his cup all around the screen, and then all of a sudden they didn't score a point the rest of the game. I thought that was awesome.
The touchdown didn't even count, EJ.
He
got called.
It was it. It wasn't even a touchdown.
He was down at the one. He was down at the one. But yeah, it was.
Was Tampa Bay better, or was Green Bay just not good?
You know, okay, so the first pick six, the only pick six, but the first pick on Rodgers was on him. It was a bad throw. It was a great read by Tampa. And then the second one, next play or next drive, that was on Davante Adams. He dropped the ball and he went. It's still a good play by the DB, but, you know, it almost seemed like I was watching The Herd, Colin Cowherd, you know, and he was talking about this today. And it was a weird comparison with him and with Aaron Rodgers and Wilson and how they, like, handle themselves when they get down big. Aaron Rodgers, when he loses, the Packers, they just don't come back. They don't. They get blown out. It's weird. I don't understand it. It's not like he doesn't have a fight to win. He's obviously a competitive guy, but, like, they don't. They always have, like, a couple, one or two blowout losses a year, and, like, that can't be happening when you're Aaron Rodgers. You know what I mean? Russell Wilson, that just is Colin Cowherd's argument, whatever. Yeah, but, like, let's say Russell Wilson. He doesn't get blown out like that. And 38-10, and you don't score another point. I mean, it was 1.14-10, 21-10.
Well, you look at the storyline of that game after that interception. Okay, Tampa Bay came right down the field. A minute and a half later, almost. It was about a minute and 40 seconds later. Ronald Jones comes down, gets a two-yard run. And now, all of a sudden, you just went from 10-0 to 14-10. That is taking the wind out of your sails. And then, oh, by the way, you have arguably the greatest quarterback of all time, who I don't think Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback of all time. I think Otto Graham is – I'm kidding. It's not Otto Graham. That's just Lil Brown's love. Then Tom Brady comes down the field, throws a touchdown pass Tyler Johnson, throws a touchdown pass to Gronk, right? They put up 28 points in that second quarter.
Gronk had a great game, by the way. Best game of his year. 78 yards and a touchdown.
That's not a Gronk game. He's not flexing on him like we're used to seeing him, but it was good
to
see him get.
It's good to see.
50-plus yards and a touchdown. That's good for him. Thanks a lot, you jerk. I left you on the bench this week because you played like trash all week. Quit fist pumping Arkansas State, Tyler.
Arkansas
Mr.
State.
Mr. Sunbelt Gambler over here.
Let's go. Units, baby. Units. We need them.
How have you gotten into gambling on Sunbelt football?
Because it's the only football game besides the NFL game, which I have money on also.
How do you?
It's better than betting on soccer.
Where are you watching these games?
They're going for it. ESPN. Sunbelt's on ESPN all the time.
It's not that. Why are you? You're like the only dude I know that like is watching Sun Belt football.
I know a couple, so
it's just I don't get it. Arkansas State, I have seen them on TV quite a bit this year. They're fun to watch, but your obsession with the Sun Belt is something else this year. All right, get past Sun Belt football because this is a little derail here. If I had a train sound effect, I'd play it right now because we're just getting run off the rails here. Final two things we want to hit about Tua, named starter in Miami. And the one thing that I thought was awesome was actually before he got named, was officially named the starter by the organization. I saw a really cool picture, and that was that after Tua was able to get in that game in garbage time, he sat at the middle of that ball field in full uniform with nobody in the stands and just soaked up the moment of his first NFL start. Tyler, do you like the move to Tua here? Or do you think Tua is going to be successful? Do you think that this is the time to bring him in with a team that doesn't look like they really got a shot at doing anything?
All right, EJ. So I also saw that picture. I thought that was awesome. It was like, you know, because
the perspective of that picture was cool because it was from such a high vantage point. And it's just a dude, and I'll kind of try to give you the visual here. Tua is in his all white uniform. He's sitting there at about the 45, 50 yard line, pretty close to center field logo, legs kind of spread apart about 45 degrees, and just kind of leaned back, just like a kid sitting there and like soaking up the sun, just looking around, enjoying them. It was a cool shot. It was a really cool photo because you can't see almost – there's a few other people walking around, but there's nobody in that shot.
Yeah, it looks like he's in an empty stadium. And, no, it was awesome to see. And he just had that injury at Alabama. That could have – that was almost career-ending, that knee injury. So, like, that's how awesome it is. Tua, I've been a fan of Tua, a left-handed quarterback, very, very rare in the NFL. I think the last one I saw was – or Tim Tebow or Michael Vick. I think it was Michael Vick with the Eagles. Last left-handed quarterback to start an NFL game. So it's all – I'm a Tua fan. It's just the question is if this is the right time. I don't think it is. Fitzpatrick has been good. Like, not great.
No, you said it wrong. That's the second time you've mispronounced something today. It's Fitzmagic, baby.
Okay. I got – I'm like, did I say Tua wrong?
Hey, he's the only quarterback. I think he's the first or the only quarterback in the history of NFL to have a degree from Harvard and start. I like what he's been doing. Tyler, I wholeheartedly agree with you. I don't think this was the right time to bring in Tua. I do think it was smart to bring him in garbage time there, let him get some touches, get a little bit of play, get used to the speed of the game in a real game where teams care, not preseason. I thought that was good for him. I think I'd be sticking with Fitzpatrick for the majority of the year. Let's say he gets about 10 games in. And it looks like, okay, season's lost. Maybe now, you know, we're in the back half of the season. We're playing in the division. The Patriots look like they're going to run away with it. The Bills look like they're going to run with it. They're sitting their starters at the end of the year. Okay, that's the time that you bring into it. But I think that, and from everything that I had read, heard, and saw, Miami was being very, very cautious about bringing Tua in. And when was the time to bring him in as a starter? Why are you bringing him in now when I think Fitzpatrick is playing so well?
Yeah, and you were talking about, like, the Bills and Patriots.
Well, Fitzpatrick playing well for a Dolphins quarterback.
Right, he's not playing great, but they're 3-3, so that's good for a Dolphins quarterback, you know. So, but you mentioned, like, until the Bills or Patriots, obviously the Jets 0-6 won't ever even get close to that, but, like...
Dumpster fire.
Speaking of which, they're awful. But
what, did they have the butt reception this week? There was a butt fumble. Was there a butt reception I saw this week for the Jets?
Yeah, they're really good at doing that, man.
It really makes you want to think that they just play like ass.
He's been waiting for that, everyone. He's been waiting for it. But no. Yeah, it's just ever since that butt fumble, they have been. But like right now, the Dolphins are 3-3. They're above the Patriots at 2-3, and the Bills are 4-2, and they've lost two in a row. So, like, it's almost like you would leave Fitzpatrick in just until, like, it got too bad, you know, because, like, right now there's still the chances that they might make, like, the wild card, though. Like, we were talking about the expanded wild card. Right now the division's iffy, but, like, a wild card team, why not, you know? And Fitzpatrick, like, he was pretty upset about, like, being benched. He's like, this is only the second time in my career, like, a 14-year career, where he's been benched and, like, really felt like this was his team. And it's like, that sucks for Fitzpatrick, you know? And the team loves Fitzpatrick. They do. And, like, I've seen interviews and whatever, but, like, that's why it's just
everywhere Fitzpatrick's been, everybody likes him.
Exactly. And he's
like Josh McCown. Everywhere they go, they're there to help everybody else. They're beloved by the organizations.
Yeah, like, he was super excited for Tua, like, when he went in that garbage time. I was watching that against the Jets. They were up, like, 35-0 or whatever. And, like, Fitzpatrick had no idea this was coming. There's no way he could have. They're 3-3. Like, if they were, like, 1-5, 2-3, like, or 2-4, I would get that. But this is just not the right time, in my opinion.
Well, I watched somebody, they did an interview with him. I saw it on the ESPN app. He's really disappointed that he's lost his starting job. And I agree with him. I don't believe that this is the best time to bring in Tua. I think that you let him play behind Fitzpatrick, maybe continue to put him in later in games, slowly lean him into an NFL career. Why? Here's what I want to know, and this is across the NFL. When we have these rookie quarterbacks that we pick early that we know really shouldn't be playing in their first year, and I will include Baker Mayfield coming in for Tyrod Taylor, as he prefers, in that game against the New York Jets a couple years ago. Justin Herbert coming in for Tyrod Taylor for the Los Angeles Chargers. Again. Now you got Tua coming in from Ryan Fitzpatrick. Why are we continuing to rush that the second that they have to come in a reserve play, that they need to be the starter all of a sudden? Tua needs more time. I think coming off the kind of injury that he did, it was potentially career-ending. He needs more time to just sit in the gym and just strengthen his body, right? If you want him to get used to NFL play, take the red jersey off of him in practice. Let him take a few hits, right? I mean, yell at your defensive players that try to kill him, but let him get knocked around a little bit. I know that that's an unpopular opinion, but if you want him to get used to NFL football, he's got to take a hit.
You got to get a hit eventually, man.
And I think that they should just continue to put him in these garbage time situations for the remainder of this year. I don't think they should name him the starter, but I do wish him the best of the luck the rest of the way here. Final NFL topic that we're going to touch on. We're about 57 into the show here. We're going to touch on two final topics, and I'll give you the majority of the time here. And big news today. Seahawks seriously considering Antonio Brown, who is about ready to come out of his, what was it, NFL 8-game suspension. Tyler, do you like Antonio Brown to the Seahawks? And do you think he makes that team better?
All right, yeah, AB, Seattle. This 8-year suspension, or eight-game suspension, obviously teams are going to be looking to add this. I mean, he was a Pro Bowler. He was that guy for Pittsburgh, and then obviously Oakland and New England didn't really work out. But I also want to say CMU grad, or not a grad, but CMU drafted out of Central Michigan University, fire up chips. Anyway, but to Seattle with Russell Wilson, a team that's, I think, yeah, Seattle's 5-1, I believe. I know they're leading the division. Let's see, yeah, 5-0. My bad, 5-0. They're just on bye. But I think this doesn't really hurt them. I mean, they have Lockett and Metcalf, who are two great receivers. I don't see this hurting Seattle because I feel like they have the leadership and Russell Wilson, let's say, like, captain-wise, Bobby Wagner, a linebacker, to tell AB before he's coming in to, like, you can't act like this and expect to, like, be on this roster and play. Like, you need to calm down. And I am hoping AB, after this 8 games, he knows he wants to play football, you know, and he can act like he doesn't want to play. He can do all these things, but AB knows that he needs football, and I think Seattle has the right pieces in Russell Wilson and Bobby Wagner, captains like that, to get him in before he signs and saying, like, you can't act like this and not – you're going to be released right away. Pete Carroll will not – he won't – that's why Belichick, like, they won't stand for this kind of behavior. So I don't think it could hurt Seattle in any way. It's just adding to Metcalf and Lockett another weapon. Who a 2-5-0 team, like, that's scary. That would be scary if AB joined the Seahawks.
You ready for the unpopular opinion? No! Leave him out of your organization. DK Metcalf, with his physical attributes, looks like he might be the next big thing in wide receiving in football. He might be the best wide receiver that I've physically ever seen. His ability, okay, and I'm going to talk about ability, not what he's done because he's still young, okay? His ability, his physical attributes allow him to do things in this game, in passing, in receiving, that the only comparison physically that I can make to DK Metcalf is LeBron James. The kind of physical specimen that when you look at, like, even Pete Carroll took his shirt off in front of DK Metcalf first time he met him because he just got, you got flexed with that dude, right? He's a freak of nature. He's bigger than defensive linemen that are in this league. The only other NFL talent that I've ever seen that's as cut as a DK Metcalf might be Aaron Donald. And I say this play is possible, but Aaron Donald takes his shirt off. Whoo, I get a little hot and heavy. That man's cut, you know? Dude, he's a freak. It's unbelievable. Like, you can't help but bow down to the master when you see a guy like Aaron Donald working out in a gym, or a guy like DK Metcalf working out in the gym, because you don't get that way without putting in the work, okay? And what I see in DK Metcalf is these guys are willing to put in the work. Antonio Brown is probably the most naturally talented wide receiver that I've ever seen. And before that hit that he took when he was playing for the Pittsburgh Steelers, when Vontaze Burfict almost took his head off, I think that Antonio Brown was on pace to be the best wide receiver of all time. However, he got some knocked loose in that hit because he has not been the same human being since then. Antonio Brown has always been known as one of the hardest workers, right? And I used to follow him on Snapchat, right? And this is a little bit more millennial style talk. You're talking about Snapchat, but every video that I saw from Antonio Brown was him running, him working, him getting treatment, him in his house, him and his boys. He was doing all the right things. Now what videos do you see? Him and his girlfriend getting yelled at and getting the police called in front of his apartment. You know, he's working out with Russell Wilson, but he's still got his Raiders helmet. He didn't even play a game for them.
That is kind of weird.
He's a special kind of crazy right now. And I don't know that, you know, with as many good things, don't you cheer for Arkansas State here, you son of a gun.
Go Arkansas State,
he's
man.
He's still watching this game, just dying over it. They're down 21-7, by the way.
Big play, big play.
21-7, 10:45 in the second quarter. Tyler rooting for Arkansas State, a little gambling, Sun Belt football. I just don't know that Antonio Brown doesn't bring in more noise than you need, because guess what? Seattle, are they not 5-0 right now? Tyler, is Seattle 5-0? Yes? No? Arkansas State, he's looking at a touchdown. He doesn't know what's going on right now. But Seattle's playing great football. I believe that they are 5-0. Tyler refuses to check the stat line for me because he's too concerned about his gambling.
Seattle is 5-0.
Well, thank you. I knew they were, but I want to make sure you're still with me here.
Oh, I'm here.
Not too big on whatever they are.
They just made an awful play.
But I don't like AB going to Seattle. I think if AB comes back to National Football League, and I don't say this ill-willed, I think he genuinely needs to go see a doctor. I think he does need an assessment, because I think football has taken away the Antonio Brown that used to be the best hard worker in football. He took away the Antonio Brown that all he cared about was hard work and playing the game. And now we have an Antonio Brown that is far more self-centered than I think I've ever seen him. I mean, look at all those years in Pittsburgh, okay? Until those last two, did you ever hear a bad word about him? No.
No, not
at
all.
He was good. He was quiet. He just worked. It's just I don't like him in Seattle. I think that until he's able to take care of himself and until he sees a doctor, I don't think he should come back to the league.
Well, see, I don't know the good things about AB. So I obviously go to Central, right? And
fire up, Chips.
Fire up, man. And
hey, my cousin went to Central. I'm with you.
Yeah, and like I've talked to professors who have taught AB, and like when he was there, and like they've talked to him and known him, and like they're like when he was here, like he was great. Like, you know,
he's
what I
from
mean?
The streets of Miami, but he's not a stupid guy.
Right, right. So I just hope he can make a comeback in some way. And Seattle, I think it'd be a good spot, but it'll be interesting to see. Can we mention one really quick hitter on the football side of things before we get into one?
Well, you want to talk about Snubba football again?
No. One topic. Dez Bryant, former receiver of NFL, looks like he's signing with the Ravens. Looks like
practice squad. I don't care.
just quick, might be big. Why not do it? Why not?
Well, we could talk about it, but if you're signing Dez Bryant, it's not an announcement if he's in the practice squad. Put him on the team. Why are you announcing that you're putting him on the practice squad? Dez Bryant used to throw up DX wearing 88 in Dallas for a long time and was very good when he played with Tony Romo. He hasn't played in, what was the last, 4 or 5 years? It feels like he hasn't played. I don't know that he brings Baltimore much help. And if he did bring that much help, why are you putting him on the practice squad? To me, this signing doesn't matter until he steps on the field.
All right, I agree. I just had to bring it up. But let's move into pretty much our last topic here. The World Series obviously has started. We have a 1-1 series right now with the Dodgers and the Rays. The Rays took a game last night, a big game, really big answer, to be honest. The Dodgers won 8-3 first game, six pretty high-scoring games for the aces out there, like the pitching-wise, you know. And, it 1-1 is better than 2-0 for the Rays. So who do you got, EJ, going forward?
As much as I want the Rays to win, I think it's the Dodgers' turn. I think they have too much power in their lineup. I think Cody Bellinger is one of the best pure torque hitters that I've ever seen. His ability to turn on a baseball and really, and I say torque, but the way he swings that bat, and I know you're looking at me and you're saying yes, but if you don't know what I'm talking about, listeners of the show, look it up on YouTube. The way that he swings that bat and his hips and the way that he comes through the ball and is able to roll over the ball and just really hit it with power with such a small frame, being a center fielder, he's impressive. I like him a lot. I think it's time for Clayton Kershaw to finally get his World Series ring. Mookie Betts is a player that's coming to this organization with a World Series ring with the Boston Red Sox. And, oh, by the way, your head coach is a guy named Dave Robinson, stole a couple of big bases against New York Yankees in order to get his Boston Red Sox back from an 0-3 deficit against New York Yankees, and they end up going out and sweeping the Cardinals in a World Series. He knows championship ball. Mookie Betts knows championship ball. You bring a little bit of that Boston attitude to this team, and all of a sudden they're back in a World Series. I think Mookie makes them so much better than anybody else can anticipate. And we're not even going through the Turners and the
Pedersen,
the Jock Petersons, Seager. We're not Seagers. We're not even getting into the other names here that matter. But I want to like the Rays. I want to pick the Rays. I hope the Rays win. But I'm taking the Dodgers. And if I'm going to take the Dodgers here, I think they're going to win this in 5 games.
Yeah, Dodgers are winning this. They have too much depth, pitching wise, compared to you. Tampa.
But do you think Tampa weighs another game?
Yes, they do, and it's gonna come in Glasnow's next start.
Is it 6 games or 7? Do you think we see a game 7 or? Because if they win again, we're going to 6.
It'll be 6 games, 4-2 Dodgers. That's my opinion. I think it's 4-2.
I agree. The Dodgers are just too good. So we'll get ready to wrap up the show here. I know we just want to briefly do a little baseball talk there just because it is the World Series. Final thing we're going to talk about. It's not necessarily sports. Great all-time voice of the NHL. Michael Doc Emmerich has announced his retirement from broadcasting. This is one of the most iconic voices in the history of the NHL. And in my opinion, hands down, my favorite voice outside of Tom Hamilton, the radio broadcaster for the Cleveland Indians. I think Doc Emmerich is hands down my favorite voice of all time for the NHL. I think he's done a better job than almost anybody out there. This is a guy I had an opportunity to meet him once. I was at a work conference in Chicago at the Drake Hotel, and I go to get on the elevator. And Doc Emmerich is standing there, and I'm 99% convinced that this is him. And so I walk up to him. I go, "Excuse me, sir, are you Doc Emmerich?" Voice, "Yes, I am." I introduced myself, identified the fact that, hey, I know your history. I watched the HBO special on you. I know you know, just call games Bowling Green. My dad played football at Bowling Green, blah, blah, blah. Big fan anyways, you know. And the first thing that he said to me was, first thing I asked if he's Doc Emmerich, he said, yes, he asked me who I was, and I gave my name. And then I told him how I was such a big fan, and he called me by name, and he said, well, EJ, where are you from? I said, well, I grew up in the Cleveland area. I went to Seoul in high school. He goes, oh, you play, you were a Comet, huh? And I was telling Tyler the story before we got on. I was like, oh my God, how does he know what high school I went to? Like, he's the kind of person that I wholeheartedly believe. And he was such a nice guy. Like, we went to get on the elevator and have a bunch of people rush in front of us. And Doc, as I did call him, and I don't know if I was supposed to or not, grabbed me by the arm. He goes, hey, we'll wait for the next one. And him and I waited for the next elevator together. And then we ended up getting a photo together. But a very nice guy. The kind of guy that I believe that if I ever met him again, would definitely believe my name. Or not believe my name. Would definitely remember my name, excuse me. But this is a guy that's used more verbs, more adjective to describe puck movement than anybody else I've ever heard of. So I'm going to tip my cap to Dop Emrick before we sign off here. Tyler, I'll give you a second. I know you're not a huge hockey guy. I know you know the voice of Doc Emrick. But I'll give you a second to pay your respects to a guy that is a legend in hockey and a legend in broadcasting, period. A guy that I certainly look up to.
Yeah, EJ, that's actually a great story. You told me that earlier. I was actually pretty surprised about how it all went out. Yeah, Doc Emrick.
I know we were talking about this. There was nothing cooler than when he grabbed my left arm and was like, we'll wait for the next elevator. Like, he invited me to continue to have conversations with him. Such a nice guy.
Right, right. And it sounds like a great guy. And like you said, I don't follow hockey a ton, but I definitely know that voice. You just have to as a sports fan, you know. And it sucks that he's retiring. But after a while, it's a good time, I would say. I mean, respects to him, though, a great broadcaster. And you got to respect those guys for sure. So,
and one thing that maybe a lot of people don't know, he is a Michigan resident. I believe he lives down in St. Clair Shores. He's got a beautiful dog, wife. He's got a family. Doc Emrick, as he's been so eloquently named, is not called a doc because he just knows everything about hockey. I believe the guy genuinely has a PhD, if I remember the documentary.
That's pretty fun.
An incredible talent. I got to give a little bit of love to him because I know he used to cover Bowling Green, which is where my dad played his college football. By the way, shout out Joe Russell, Bowling Green Hall of Fame. But Doc Emrick is somebody that will truly be missed. And I really do. And I don't know if it would, I don't think it'll ever happen again, but if I do ever get the pleasure of bumping into him again, I wouldn't be surprised if you remembered my name and if you remember where I went to high school. So Doc Emrick, an incredible talent. You will surely be missed. The NHL will miss you. The game itself will miss you. The game sports show will certainly miss you. And I'll say myself, I will miss you. I was a big fan of Doc Emrick. He's certainly a guy that I followed for a long time. So let's tip our caps. Let's have a clink of the glass here, a little toast to Doc Emrick. Congratulations on a great career. You'll surely be missed. Hope to see you around still. So that'll do it for this edition of The Hot Seat. Again, this is The Hot Seat powered by the Game Entertainment Media. Live from Moe's Pub in Escanaba. Moe's Pub, 24 TVs, multiple local craft beers on tap. Best place to catch game in Escanaba, best pub in Escanaba. Tyler, thank you so much for joining me again this week. Escanaba Excellence, the notorious NORSE, my co-host Tyler Willett, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, EJ. Yeah, I can't wait to be back next week. What do you got up this weekend? What are you doing this weekend?
Well, you're son of a gun for asking me this because I'm in a terrible mood because of the way that my weekend's going to go. My folks were supposed to come visit, ended up having to cancel. But I'll be around, I think, Saturday. Are we not going for the color tour? Your ma, your dad, a bunch of our family friends, we're going for a little a color tour around the Upper Peninsula here, are we not?
Yes, we are. We got
I think it's a bunch of couples, and then you and I got to hold hands on the rest of the ride because we're the only single dudes.
Might be.
I mean, you're dating somebody.
I am not single, but my girlfriend. Yeah, that's how it's gonna work.
You're single on your taxes, right?
Perfect. That's a great way to explain it. But oh yeah, we're gonna go see some colors. Drink a lot of alcohol, probably.
Responsibly. Always gamble responsibly. Always drink responsibly. We will not be driving. We have a driver. We're on the fun bus.
We're on a bus. Literally a bus driver on the UP. It's gonna be a great time.
A $500 bus that is doomed to break down. I don't know why we're doing this, but we do it every year.
It's gonna be fun. It's gonna be fun. So yeah, that's what we're doing this weekend.
Not a ton going on over here this weekend. Now I will tease this. The Hot Seat has some big news coming up. Okay. Keep listening to the show. I'll tease this a little bit. The Hot Seat's going to be coming live on air in Escanaba. That's the news. I'm not going to break where what station we're on yet. I'm not going to give too many of the details. But the hot seat, we had Tyler and I had a wonderful meeting last night at a local restaurant. A dear friend of mine who owns this station was kind enough to treat us to dinner and some beverages. I think we had a very productive meeting. Tyler, you were fantastic in there. The kicker on that meeting, by the way, has to be that the waitress was used to be your babysitter.
Wild. No idea. Well,
what was even funnier with that, and I think the reason it's even funnier is, so we're all getting ready to pack up, right? Tyler's got his plate. He ordered the salmon. He's trying to figure out if he wants lager salmon. Gets the salmon and goes to use the restroom before we end up leaving. And he puts his plate down. I'm like, no, Tyler, you have to finish your fries or you can't have any dessert. So the server comes by, this nice lady, whose name I will not say to protect her on air here. And she goes, I'll take his plate, but we should leave the fries, right? And I go, yeah. And as soon as she left the fries, she recognized who he was and goes, who's your mom and dad? And Tyler tells him who his mom and dad is. She's like, I used to be your babysitter. And I almost peed my pants because I thought it was even funnier that your old babysitter told you had to finish your fries before you could have dessert. It was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So big news coming up for the hot seat. Again, that'll do it for this week's edition of the Hot Seat, powered by the Game Entertainment Media. Tyler, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, EJ.
You can check us out at thegamesportsshow.com. Listen to us live on the Podbean app. Check us out at thegamesportsshow.podbean.com. You can catch other editions of the game from a Monday night edition on ESPN 1400. The In the Pocket segments, Butch on Sports, simplybutch2.p, that's to.podomatic.com. Check out episodes of The Drive featuring Paul Van Wagner with ESPN Blacksburg, with Scott Nason coming in as a special guest from time to time. Look forward to seeing Paul Van Wagner has agreed to do one of our shows here. I know you and I are still dialing in on our format and how we do this, but Paul's going to jump in. Scott's been here. We'll have Butch one of these weeks coming up. All kinds of visitors coming to the hot seat. But again, that's this week's edition of the Hot Seat, powered by the Game Entertainment Media, thegamesportsshow.com. Check us out at thegamesportsshow.podbean.com, live from Moe's Pub in Escanaba. I am EJ Russell. He is Tyler Ouellette.
Peace.
And we'll check you out next week. Thanks for listening to this edition of The Hot Seat, powered by the Game Entertainment and Media. Check us out at thegamesportsshow.com, thegamesportsshow.podbean.com. See ya!